Welcome to From Beneath the Hollywood Sign. If you love old movies, Hollywood history, or the golden age of filmmaking, you've come to the right place. This is the podcast that talks about amazing stories of Tinseltown from another era and fascinating conversations with writer-producer Steve Kubine and actress-writer Nan McNamara.
So, Steve, did Ava Gardner and Howard Hughes have a good relationship?
Well, they did, until he dislocated her jaw.
What?
Well, don't worry. She hit him back with an ashtray.
From Beneath the Hollywood Sign is the gin joint for you.
Hi, I'm Neil.
And I'm Ken.
And we are from The Triviality Podcast, a pub trivia-style game show where a lack of seriousness meets a little bit of knowledge.
Join us each week for an hour-long game of general knowledge trivia featuring special guests from around the world, plus tons of extra themed episodes.
If you want to improve your trivia game,
or you just want to scream at us in your car when we get easy questions wrong,
then we're the show for you. Find Triviality on all your favorite podcast apps.
But you know that, because you're already listening to a podcast.
Hello, I am Anderson Cowan, and I have got a movie to make, and this is Loaded for Bear. Let's make this movie, week five, and today I have a guest. I guess, it's my second guest, because my six-year-old was on first, but today I bring you Joe Dorville, who goes back before Atticus was even involved in this project. Joe, you're like the original partner in Loaded for Bear. Originally, it was called A Movie for Vengeance, and I came across another title.
It was Ben when I first got it.
Was it Ben when you first got involved? It was Ben, and then it was An American Dream, and then it was Ben's American Dream.
American Dream. I think that's what it was.
I still like Ben to be just simple and titular, as my buddy Brian likes to say. Yes, I said buddy.
I do like a titular title.
But Loaded for Bear came to me as I walked into the bathroom one night when I was just hanging out with a wife, which those nights are few and far between as of late. I get maybe one night a week where I can hang out with the wife and watch bad TV with her, and because everything's going on, Joe. I got up and I said, honey, I'll be right back. I had to go pee, if you must know. And just, I wasn't even thinking about this project, even though I probably was somewhere in my brain. And Loaded for Bear just kind of like hit me in the head right as I walked into the bathroom. It was very strange. It was very, very odd how that worked. Well, anyways, great. I would like to introduce
gold strikes at the most random times.
It's, I don't know if gold, I mean, I think it's at least a silver title. I like it to the point I'd call it silver. Okay. Maybe it'll get platinum one day if I get that excited, okay. If it grows on me. But no, so far Loaded for Bear, I still dig that title. I think it's apt. So I would like to introduce the team moving forward, starting with Joe. Joe, do you want to, if you were on I've Got a Movie to Make way back when, and we were talking about this project, but it was when it was in its infantile state, right? It's gone a lot farther down the road. We have a website, we have social. So I guess I'll just say, Joe is, you're in Atlanta.
Yes.
Back in Atlanta. You were in Dallas for a minute. When you lived in Dallas, I thought it was really gross how you just immediately started telling everyone that everything's great in Dallas and everything's bigger in Texas. And
oh my gosh, I was obnoxious. It was so, I didn't like myself at that point, honestly.
Just immediately became like all Texas, but then got out of there.
I got an accent. It was so weird.
So this movie is being piecemealed together. I don't know if piecemeal is the right word, but it's being produced and worked on by people that are in remote locations all over the country. Mike and I are boots on the ground here in the class, Born to Act Players class. And we got Joe, who I brought on early on to help. You essentially are the voice of one of the lead characters in the movie at this point. I mean, you rewrote that character. You really helped me find the voice for the Dexter character. And then we got Catherine and Robert, who are in Wisconsin, who I will have on the program eventually as well. But we're doing this, I think, pretty well, considering that we were all strangers at one point, and we do these meetings, and I got to talk to Catherine off the meeting, just her and I talking on the phone yesterday for the first time. And I've been meeting with her in meetings for like 6 months now, and I finally got to talk to her. So Joe, why don't you describe, and I'm actually kind of interested to hear what your role is as far as the documentary side of things at this point out.
Put me on the spot there. My role as far as the documentary side at this point, I mean, we're still getting footage, still need to get releases and everything. At this point, I'm basically in charge of social media accounts, editing the voice of Anderson basically to the people and trying to drum up some outreach and support and stuff like that. So I'd say that's my role at this present time.
Exactly. You're like the social media megaphone at this point. Speaking of which, one of the points
band right now
of this little show is the same kind of thing. Just helping spread the word, helping get people interested in the project, helping people understand what we're trying to do. Because it is a bit convoluted, a bit confusing to a lot of people. It's hard for me to get people to understand that we're kind of doing that thing where you see in movies at the end of the movie, you see the people that it was actually based on, but we're doing that in real time. Because I'm with Born to Act, I'm kind of doing that with making the movie the way that we're making it. And you'll see once everything's said and done, but Joe's helping in that regard too. And so far it has been a lot of like you cutting this show up in particular. But once I have the meeting with all of the parents and I really make it clear what we're planning on doing, and I figure out who doesn't want to be a part of this, which I will be surprised if there's anybody, honestly. I think all the actors are going to want to be a part of it. We'll be able to show a little bit more of what goes on in the class on the socials as well.
Yeah, and those socials are, I would be terrible if I didn't say it, Loaded for number 4 Bear _ Doc on Twitter and Instagram. You can really just type Loaded for and then it'll probably pop up, but I just have to say the whole thing. And on Facebook as well, Loaded for Bear _ a documentary is the page for it.
And then Loaded for Bear doc.com is where you go. Yeah. To become a part of it. If you'd like to be a part of it at any level, it's what's making this thing a reality and helping it actually happen. And if you would like to be a megaphone or help Joe and I's efforts and spreading the word, we did a lot of that with Groupers to great success. So we're always looking for megaphones, just shares. We're looking for shares on your socials. You can, you know, say a little bit about what you know about the project and just try and get other, like your friends and your family members like involved or at least following along to see what we're doing, because we do totally believe in what this project is going to do ultimately, like the lasting effects and change that we hope that it has. So Joe, will you shoot me an email after this meeting? We have another one coming up here in about 10 minutes, you and yeah. I just with the social, so I can put them so that right now when I say this it'll be true.
Oh, okay.
The links to the socials are in the notes of this actual episode you're hearing if you're listening on your podcast player. So just go down there and you should be able to just click the link and it'll take you right to it. Because that's tough, right? Remembering the actual letters.
Handles,
and Yeah. We've had too many discussions about this up to this point, but it's like, how important is the actual name? Could it be like a license plate as long as people see it once and they can follow or retweet and then it's in their feed? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I was like
as
phone
soon
number?
As you look up Loaded for Bear, because as the name, it's confusing, but the name, not the handle, it's
right.
Loaded for Bear. So once you put that in, you'll find it. You should be able to find it.
We got ahead of it long before we even launched this
got too far
project.
Ahead of it, some would
we
say.
Got too far ahead of it, yeah. And we got shut out, and Twitter had a problem. We mentioned it a little bit, but they banned us or they suspended us before we even got going. I think they thought we were just sitting on the handle.
Yeah.
I looked
at it again today and it still was suspended. And I was
it's not. I just heard from Robert yesterday that it's not suspended. So that was something I wanted to talk to you about.
I looked at it today.
And then it looked like it wasn't for a second, but then it was again. I think Elon Musk just hates the mentally challenged population. I think that's what it is.
Maybe what it is.
I think it is. But what we
self-loathing maybe
what we came across is the problems with you can only use so many characters on Twitter as opposed to Facebook. We wanted everything to be uniform, but like we had to use a letter 4. I think it was for Twitter for the handle because we were running out of space. It's real scintillating stuff, this filmmaking, isn't it? So Joe, a little bit of your background, because a lot of people probably are here, and I've yapped enough. So let's make this more about Joe.
I am now on the cusp of 30. I think when we first started this, I was like, I just turned 26 or something.
Are you that young? I didn't even know that.
Yeah,
I'm going to have to rethink this entire relationship.
went to school for production in Florida, that state that I love and I hate at the same time. Don't give me shit. I understand.
We keep this clean here, John.
Moved to do we? I'm sorry.
It's all right.
I just let it fly.
It still says explicit because it's part of the Film Vault feed, so that's fine.
Moved to Atlanta in 2017 with, you know, bushy tail, bright eye. Thought I was going to change the world.
We all thought we were going to change the world. We're actually changing the world now, I think, Joe.
I think we're on the verge of it. I definitely thought I was gonna just, you know, people were just gonna be knocking down my door for all my ideas, and that didn't happen. So
let me stop you there real quick, because I totally get that, and I think most of us, at least the ones that have made something so far that came from like production and film school, part of you realizes that's a total pipe dream, right? But you have to keep.
But you gotta think it.
You gotta think it, or else you can't even put one foot in front of the other. So you have to kind of lean on this ego that will allow you to actually have the temerity to go out there and try and make it happen. Because
especially for me, because I moved. Like, you being in LA, like, it probably felt a little more. It's around you. You were in a film school to a degree. But
that doesn't help, I don't think. I think I'd feel like a big fish in a little pond if I lived outside. And I've talked to other filmmakers who make a go of it because they are a local filmmaker to that region of the country or whatever, and they're representing. And I can't do that in LA at all. It's not like, hey, check me out, I got an LA voice. You know, no one cares.
In actuality, I probably should have stayed in Jacksonville and just worked and developed with people from my class and stuff like that. But I had my eyes sight on bigger things and moved to Atlanta, and then immediately found out it's not easy to get a job whatsoever. But I've found work here and there, doing other things, doing music videos. I worked with an artist for like three, four years on and off. And then I found myself in my current job, which is really great, as an editor. That's my primary function. But I mean, me and you crossed paths because of the After Disaster and then the Film Vault. Well, the Film Vault and then the After Disaster. I gave you a boatload of money after my mom passed. You won't let me not get past that anymore.
I think that was the first time that we ever actually talked. And then
that was not. That was like the third or fourth time. The first time we talked was you guys shouldn't vote. And I said
email-wise. As far as talking though, like when your phone contribution to groupers came through, like I called you, like I said, can we talk? And then I was sitting at a gas station and we talked, and I remember you I remember tearing up, and your story like moved me, and then like you became a different Joe. You weren't just the guy that was giving me crap in my email for the wrong things that I said. You became like a full fleshed out human being with a backstory. And then when you gave me notes on this particular, because I knew you're from production, and you know, if you're smart, or you're trying to feel smart or look smart, you want as many notes from people you respect as possible when you write something or create something. I don't care if it's a painting or you're designing a car or writing a script, as it were here. You, as many people as you can trust, you want to hear what they have to say. And you were definitely one of those people that I wanted to get your thoughts. And you had the best, most succinct, organized notes that I got from probably, I don't know, 15 different people that I heard from. And nothing against all the people that I got the notes from, because I got some really, really good notes. But your notes and the way that you put them out and the sense that it made to me, I immediately realized that I wanted to work with you at some point down the road. And it ended up being this so far. So.
Yeah, I think I said the first time I was on, even when I was in school, like I took a screenwriting class. I took intro and then advanced twice, because we were able to take it twice, and me and the teacher became like good friends and became a mentor to me. And there were times where I didn't have his class, like there'll be a semester where I didn't have any of his classes, but he'd see like somebody doing well and he'd be like, hey, would you give this person notes, because like you're the best person I've ever seen, like you give good notes, you don't deal with the bullshit. You just write to it.
which is, it's an art form, and it takes a little getting used to, especially if you don't really know someone and people pull punches. Yeah. And it's just last night,
I think I told you that. I was like, hey, I'm going to give you notes.
That's what you need. Just last night, Atticus, my 6-year-old, we're driving back from dress rehearsal for the Born to Act Players, because we're in the show tomorrow, which Mike is documenting. And I've been telling Mike, just get Atticus for sure being a part of this, but try to angle me out. I'm constantly on stage on the far start, stage left or stage right, so he can get full shots, because I don't really want to be like, hey, look at me, look at how cool I am being an assistant and a volunteer. I want to focus on the volunteers that have been there for a while. I'm trying my best not to include myself in this much at all, but on the way back from dress rehearsal, which was pretty intense for Atticus. You know, it was 2.5 hours of like going through the paces. There was like some yelling going on, not mean yelling, but like, you got to be like this. Some tough love was happening to all the actors, including Atticus. And I was talking about notes, and we always get notes at class. And I was explaining what notes are and how notes are hard to come by if you're just out there by yourself and you want notes, because it's going to help you be better. And that's like practicing. Just like anything else, I was explaining to him how hard it is to get notes that are honest, because a lot of times people will tell you what you want to hear, and that won't get you anywhere at all with anything you're doing. So, yeah, I think a lot of people probably know that who are listening. But that's another thing, is Joe did not, he was not afraid to pull any, I mean, to punch. You didn't have to punch too much. Let's be honest.
I didn't have to punch too much, but there's been times where I've like given same level of punch and like people have just recoiled and just like completely never want to speak to me again and don't want to send me anything ever again.
They should not be making things for anyone other than their friends and family, right? Because
if you can't take some real criticism, then I'm sorry.
I mean, I can't take criticism personally, like about my own personality. I hate to see people misunderstand me, and like especially early on with the film vault when I was doing my shtick and being super mean to Brian, which I still am, but it hurts when people think that I'm just a total, you know, sociopathic a-hole. Like that still hurts. So I try not to look at comments about me personally, but as far as like the work that you do and you put out there and someone gives their time to look at it, you should hear what they have to say. They're not going to be right all the time, but did they do this to you in film school? And we only have like 3 minutes left here, but it was the first real taste of it. And we had made some, like our first little student film was like small time. And we screened them for the class that was below us, or maybe a couple classes below us, like, you know, the incoming students who really thought that they're going to change the world still. They hadn't really had any reality checks yet. Right. So, cause you're not failing until you start, until you try. Yeah. Right. So they really thought that everything they were to make was going to be, you know, Midas touch type stuff. Yeah. So it was a dirty trick, but it was great. I'll never forget it. So they brought us into a symposium, the film students in my class. There was like maybe 12 of us who had something to show. And we screened all of our films, and the new like 200 student body of like 200, 250 new film students were in the symposium with paper, and they'd write the title of the film, and then they'd write their notes as the films were being played. And then we were handed all of those notes after the screening.
No, this is diabolical.
yeah, it was tough. I mean, especially for some of my friends that were in there, they tended to like mine because it was so obnoxious and it bore them. But my fellow peers who were like making art films and stuff, they got some really, really tough. I got some really bad notes too. Let's not lie. But like one of my really good friend, she's I still bring it up every time I see her. One of the notes, it was just really simple. It just said, never make another film. That's all it said. That's all it said.
That's aggressive.
But it was, you know, feet to the fire. It was good stuff. So yeah, Joe, I love having you part of this and seeing you every week. It's a great excuse just to see you too and to talk to you. We get on and off the phone quite a bit these days.
Texting a lot with the Panthers and their Stanley Cup, right, baby?
He's a big, big fan of the Florida Panthers when they're winning.
All times.
Okay, it's true.
Just a little quieter when they're losing because there's none to celebrate.
Why don't you give your plugs too, real quick? Because we have like 2 minutes left, and because Joe does all sorts of stuff. He's doing podcasts and. I'm bad at plugging his stuff in particular.
You can check me out on Twitter and Instagram. My personal is at Joe Dorville, D-O-R-V-I-L. You can check out my music on all your DSPs, Headphone Joe, no O, no E in the phone. And then you can check out A New Low, Who Does a Podcast, and Cheers from the Press Box. Just go to anewlow.co and you'll get a brief synopsis of all the shows. All fun, all entertaining. One is sports, one's about musicals, and then one is basically a better version of the After Disaster, I'd say. Mm-hmm.
I was just about to chime in and say they've been trying to like chase and do the After Disaster for years, and as far as I can tell, you guys are still missing the mark by far.
We've outdone you guys.
I think the problem is you guys don't have a Mike Carano on your team, so it's tough. Mm-hmm. It's tough when you don't have a Mike Carano. Yep. Speaking of Mike Carano, he's doing amazing.
I would say we have like two or three Mike Caranos. But
amazing. Well, you'd be wrong. He's doing amazing work. The man is so unique, but what he sees behind the camera might be his best asset, and that says a lot. Like the footage that he's getting in there is fantastic. Just yesterday, we had to lob up Mary, who runs the class. And I love Mary, and Mary, you know, we go back a whole 2 years now because I've been working with the class and her for 2 years. She's just a peach. She's the best. She's one of the kindest people I've ever met. And that says a lot because I meet all sorts of kind people up at my camp and other like volunteer things. I don't know. I got to check my notes. I don't know if that's
2020,
true.
I think.
So we wanted to put a lavalier on her, a wireless mic yesterday, because it's a, you know, dress rehearsal, and she's giving great notes, and she, you know, she's in charge, but she does it. It's such an art the way that she comes at these actors without crushing them, but also getting them to do what she needs them to do. And she never once does she seem stern's not even a fair word, because she just does it so lovingly, but she gets effect for the most part. She gets what she's after. She gets the
velvet glove, intention. Iron fists, I think.
Yeah. Not even, it's just, she's remarkable. So we needed her to wear this wireless mic, and I was shocked, but she was a little bit like, yeah, I don't know. And she wasn't saying no, but she was kind of looking at me like help as Mike was, I was shocked, but Mike Carano of all people, and if you know Mike, he doesn't want to make people uncomfortable with things like this. He doesn't want to push at all. And he pushed. He's like, well, here's the thing, Mary. It's really important that we have this for today, because this is really a big class today because of it being the last dress rehearsal. And if we have you wearing a mic, it's just going to do a lot for the film. And she was still not sold, kind of looking at me. And I was like, no, if Mary doesn't want to, I don't want to make her uncomfortable, especially because today is so important for the actual show. And Mike just kept pushing. And then I said, all right, wow. Mary, why don't we try it for 10 minutes? And then if you want it off, I said, I think you'll forget that it's even there. And she's like, okay. And then we mic'd up Mary, but I wouldn't have, if it was just me in there by myself, I would have said, okay, Mary. So it's great having Mike.
TCB lightning bolt, Mike. Let's do
it. I was shocked. So I haven't had a chance to look at that footage yet, but I'm very excited about a lot of the stuff that I know he got yesterday. There's this one, I hope there's good audio for this, but there's this one in particular exchange where it's the dating game. And one of the actors, his name's Luke, he didn't win the dating game. So he's supposed to like tell the bachelorette, like, you know, how upset he is and kind of be mean and give her attitude. And he just wouldn't do it because he's so sweet. And he was like, and they're saying, well, it's just acting, Luke. You just act and tell her that you're upset with her. And he's like, I know it's acting, but I still don't want to be mean. And it was just such a sweet little moment, even though he's a bit manipulative, because I know Luke pretty well. But I hope Mike got good audio on that. Little moments like that I want to share from this class. It's just so great. So great. So we'll have to get you out here, Joe. You got to see the class in person.
Yeah, that is something I definitely do want to do.
Okay, I am stopping. Thank you very much, everyone who's following along and listening. LoadedForBearDoc.com. We are now officially late for our producer's meeting. So we're going to jump in. It's going to be a good one too, Joe. So hopefully...
I'm going to be eating during it. Just so
cool. Just mute yourself. All right, thanks everybody for listening. Talk to you next week.